very aware. Don't be afraid, but be aware. We need to be aware of the stratagems of the adversary. This is what our apostle tells us in Ephesians 6, that we are to wear the full armor of God to protect us from the stratagems of Satan. Stratagems, by the way, are tricks. That word, by very nature, means a trick. And he is a liar and the father of lies. And that's all he has left. He can't attack you frontally. He can't do anything to bodily harm you because God turns that around and it ends up being for your good, because all things work together for good, even Satan's frontal attacks. So the only thing that he has left is he can lie about stuff, and he can lie and he does it big time. And the secret of lawlessness is that Satan has changed his tactics over the years, and now he disguises himself as a minister of righteousness. And this brings us back to 2 Thessalonians. We're going to pack it in here on the last day of this week with this operation of deception. And what does this have to do with Daniel? Lots, because in the day of Daniel, there were also false prophets, and we're going to read about them today, who were prophesying falsehood, and they were telling good things for Israel, telling them, no, God doesn't want you to go into exile. This is a bad thing. Why would God want you to go to exile? God loves you. Why would he take your candy away? Why? And God told Jeremiah, this is of me. And the truth is never popular. You know, always shoot the messenger too, you know? Just shoot the messenger. That's what they did practically to Jeremiah. Shoot the messenger. All you do is prophesy evil. There was a king. Who was that? In 2 Chronicles, said to one of the prophets then, can't think of his name, but he said, all you do is prophesy evil concerning me. No, I prophesy the truth. You just don't like it. And today, we're going to see this in Jeremiah 29. I love that part of Jeremiah 29. But back to 2 Thessalonians 2, the present detainer, talked about that yesterday, will be gone, us, the body of Christ, and then will be revealed the lawless one, whom the Lord Jesus will dispatch with the spirit of his mouth and will discard by the advent of his presence. You see a parallel with Nebuchadnezzar? Yeah. The lawless one will be dispatched, discarded. But first he has to rise up. The pattern, rise up. You can't get rid of a lawless one until you have a lawless one. You can't humble an earthly potentate until you have an earthly potentate. So you can't destroy the final one world government unless you have a one world government. We are in the construction phase of the one world government. But guess what? You and I have the advantage of knowing the end from the beginning. Martin, only God can do that. No, but he gives us the secret. He says there's a pattern. Watch for it. Wait for it to be very deceptive, and it's going to be destroyed. It's set up to be destroyed. And also, it's going to bring in the ultimate good. Right? But we have to see the bad first. So here's what's going to happen. This operation of the secret of lawlessness and the lawless one. Concerning him, verse 9 of 2 Thessalonians 2, his presence will be in accord with the operation of Satan. Oh, Satan. That's not real good, is it? No. With all power and signs and false miracles, with every seduction, touches on what I told you yesterday, that the seduction of this thing is going to be high-end, extremely sophisticated. False miracles. That's why I get nervous when you're telling me about miracles. Not you, but some people tell me about miracles. Martin, this miracle happened. I don't trust miracles today, because this verse tells me that one of the signs of the end time is going to be power, signs, false miracles. Now, just the fact that they're called false miracles means that they're going to be seen, be posing as, and be accepted as real miracles. And people are going to say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do wonderful works in your name? Matthew 24, and Jesus is going to say, depart from me, workers of lawlessness. Ah, the secret of lawlessness is already operating. How can people who are doing things in Jesus Christ's name be accused of being workers of lawlessness? Because they're in accord with the secret of lawlessness, and it is posing as righteousness. And this doesn't mean that the people in it know they're doing it. They're not purposely doing it. They don't wake up in the morning to be deceivers, but they are nevertheless deceivers. I'll never forget Jim Corum telling me this, and I've never forgotten it. A wolf in sheep's clothing doesn't necessarily know it's a wolf in sheep's clothing. It's just what it is. It's being used. It's a tool. God help the tool. I feel sorry for the tools being used for this deception. Every seduction of injustice among those who are perishing for the eons, because they do not receive the love of the truth. Jeremiah had the love of the truth, found him in the bottom of a well. Those who love the truth will be persecuted in this world, even by their own. You love the truth? Sorry about your luck. Send you a sympathy card. Sorry to hear you love the truth. Hallmark needs to come up with an entire new division of greeting cards for members of the body of Christ. So you love the truth, so you're trying to live the evangel, sorry, because you will be persecuted in this life, not by the world, but by your own people, by those near you, by those who are supposedly your friends. You're going to find out who your real friends are when the shaking comes, when things get tough. Oh, when things get tough, when the light comes on, the cockroaches flee, don't they, you know? There are cockroaches in the camp. Maybe I'll name this show Cockroaches in the Camp. No, I'm not going to do it. Maybe I will. I hate to say it. I don't like to say it. I don't like the reality of it. It's really mean. I don't mean it. It's too severe. I'm sorry. What do I mean? Forget cockroaches. I like the alliteration, though. Cockroaches in the Camp. Maybe I'll write a book with that title. All right, I'm sticking with cockroaches. It's not you. You're not one of them. The cockroaches are not listening to this show right now. That sounds bad. All right, I'll probably regret that this weekend. But there it stands. I'm not going to edit it. They don't receive the love of the truth for their salvation. No, they don't have aeonian salvation. And therefore, God will be sending them an operation of deception for them to believe the falsehood. God will actively be sending an operation of deception for them to be believing the falsehood. He wants them to, so that they may be judged, those who do not believe the truth, but delight in injustice. A lot to be said about that. I always bring up that verse every few months or so because you need to always be reminded of it. Now, back to Jeremiah's letter to the exiles. This is what the Lord Almighty God, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. Wow. What is today in the Pentecostal camp is everybody has a dream. I had a dream. I had a dream last night. I said, yeah, I did too. I had a dream that a giant Milky Way bar ate New York City. That's the kind of dreams I have. They don't mean anything. Now, which is not to say that God doesn't suggest things to you about your life, maybe through dreams, because that's your subconscious. It's all chemical. It's all psycho stuff. It's not a message God is giving you. It might be something that you need to learn about yourself, much as you would be sitting under a tree, musing about your life, or waking up in the morning, laying in your bed for another hour after you're supposed to get up and thinking about your life, and God brings things to your mind, and that kind of thing, yeah. But a prophecy, what's going to happen, what your life is going to be. I have a prophecy for you, sister. God spoke to me in a dream that you're to do that. No. I'll never forget it. In Arizona back in 1984, there was a woman there who was a friend of mine, and she came up to me, very serious, very somber tones, and she had the air of a prophetess, and you could just tell that there was this hush came over. She walked into the room as though a specter, and as though she had a white sheet over her, and she could have been levitating. I don't know. She should have had a white robe on that went past her feet, and so had she been levitating, I would not have been able to detect it. I have a word for you. God is going to use you mightily in the years to come. His hand is upon you. And I'm listening to this, and I'm thinking, every bit of this is crap. Every bit of it. Because God doesn't speak through dreams today. Now, you might say, but Martin, it was true. God has used you mightily. She spoke the word of God. She prophesied over your life. Truth, no, there are no prophets today. And so even if they prophesy things that are true, you discount the testimony. I give you the example of, again, of the maiden with a python spirit in the book of Acts, I think around chapter 16, who went around saying concerning Paul and Silas, these are servants of the Most High God. True or false? Ding, ding, well done. It's python spirit. It's the truth. But we don't want truth being articulated through dubious sources, in fact, false sources. So Paul cast the demon out of the maid, the python spirit, which was a ventriloquist spirit. It speaks through human agencies. I think that what's what the word means. Python spirit has to do with ventriloquism. And we're seeing ventriloquism, I believe, in our own camps, in especially in the Pentecostal experience, which leaks over into some of our own people. And people like the emotional aspect of it. They like the fact that you don't have to work in the scriptures and anybody can get a revelation. But what does God say concerning these? Even in his day, even in the day when prophecy was legitimate, when you needed prophecy because the word of God wasn't complete yet, God says, don't let the prophets and the diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. Kind of reminds me of Paul in 2 Timothy 4. They heap up teachers in accord with their own desires. Man, we want people who give us dreams because we want a direct hotline to God, because that's easy, if only. I always wish God would skywrite, like the Wicked Witch of the West, you know, sending a message to Dorothy, zooming around on her broom. Why couldn't God just send me a message? So if somebody comes to me with a dream, I got a hotline. Well, we already have a hotline. It's the Spirit of God, and that's mature hotline. It's not like this. This is what God says concerning them. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. Ooh! They are prophesying lies to you in my name. Lord, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we work miracles, do wonderful works? Oh, 2 Thessalonians 2, false miracles, false signs. You can't trust this stuff. And today they're telling you, Joel Osteen is telling you to prosper. God wants you prosperous. And we're being told, prophesied to, that the Christian religion is the key to political success in this country. That if Christians can just get together and assemble, and if they can march on Washington, they can change the laws, and they can bring the kingdom of God on earth. They can create a utopia. Tell me, what is different than that and the utopia that the Jews want to bring to the utopia that the Jews want to bring to the world through Zionism, through the falseness, through the false temple they're going to build? It's in them to rule the world, but they're going to do it apart from the legitimate channels. They're going to do it through surreptitiously through a route that is not approved by God, and they're going to do it in his name. That's the tricky thing. They do this, listen to this, Jeremiah, in a day when prophecy was legit, says, they are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declared the Lord. So that's why I say the name of Christ does not rubber stamp something as something to be listened to. Anybody can say, this is the Lord. Anybody can say, thus saith the Lord. You have to test the Spirit. You have to test it. And what do we test things by? We test things by the evangel of Paul. We test things by Paul's writing in 1 Corinthians 12 that whether prophecy, whether languages, they will cease when maturity has come. Maturity is not being translated and having your body made immortal. Maturity is coming to Paul's latest, greatest letters, especially the book of Ephesians, which declares to you that you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing among the celestials, and you do not need these primitive forms of communication. We have the Spirit of God in us, and we have revelations concerning our place, exposing the lies, giving forward secrets. Everything that was secret before, for instance, the secret of lawlessness, is now revealed, and it is revealed through the words of our apostle. That is the only body of truth we need today. It sustains us. It's our anchor. It's a lighthouse. Everything else, even what looks to be good, especially what looks to be good, is false.